coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
Thing, like, take for instance, if you're going to reach for the glove compartment,
right?
Before you do that, if the officer's outside your vehicle, you say, "Officer, my registration is in the glove compartment. May I reach into the glove compartment to recover it?" Okay. Don't just go reaching in there, because if you go reaching in there yourself, they might.
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
This is Dr. William T. Choctaw, and I will be your host today to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. We always like to go over our beliefs. We believe life is about being of service to other people. We believe knowledge is power. We believe leaders can change the world. And so, in essence, what we want to do for you, our audience, is to empower you with knowledge to make the world a better place. So, welcome, Bernie.
Hey, hello there. How's it going? I want to talk to you today about what are your rights when dealing with the police?
Oh,
and what are their rights when dealing with you? Can the police set up a stakeout and spy on my house through binoculars? And the answer to that is yes. If they're in a public place, let's say they park down the street, and they got their binoculars, and they do this, by the way.
Okay.
They just watch you every time you go in and out the house, and who's going in and out the house, and
so how is that not harassment? But because again, I'm a nervousy kind of person, and if I see people watching me who may be law enforcement, that just terrifies me.
That's terrible. Well, a lot of times they try to do it incognito. They don't want
to. Okay.
They're trying to do it so you don't see them. That's why they have these binoculars, and they're a couple of hundred yards away or 100 yards away. But it's perfectly legal for them to be anywhere they want to be as long as they're in a public place. They can park and they can watch your house. They cannot. We're going to get to home searches next and home intrusions, but they cannot come in your house. But here's the irony of it is, at some point, if they see something going on inside of your house, and the way they do this is they would set up a case by saying, yes, every 15 minutes, somebody came to the house and they would come, they would stay there for 2 or 3 minutes, and then they would leave. And there was this constant traffic in and out of the house. And one time we saw somebody come and they were standing out on the front porch, and we saw the person hand some money to the person, the homeowner, and the homeowner hand a small package to the person, and then the person leave. And this went on and on day and day. So what they're trying to do is establish probable cause that this guy is dealing drugs or that there's some kind of criminal activity going on in the house. And so they would present that to a judge at some point, and the judge would have to make a determination as to whether that is sufficient.
But isn't it true in the post-COVID era that a lot of people have home businesses, and they people may come to their homes to purchase, different items that the homeowner may make, and it's a legitimate business?
You've got that Juris Doctor. You really know that. You went to law school. You know your stuff.
No.
Certainly, that would be the defense. Absolutely. And that would be, theoretically, conceivably, likely, a successful defense in many circumstances. The way it works, and we'll move right on since we're approaching that subject, we'll move on to home searches.
Okay.
And so the question being, can they come and search your home, or can they enter your home? And basically, there are certain reasons, certain legal justifications as to why they can or cannot. And the main one is if they get a warrant. And the way that works is they go to a judge or a magistrate, and they say, "Oh, Your Honor, we've been conducting a surveillance of this home, and this is what we've seen." Now, the judge may this is before they even get this to, trying to get the search warrant at this point. And the judge may say, "No, I'm not going to give you a search warrant on this. You know what? It could have just been, you know, just delivering food. Or, yeah, I'm not going to sign up on a search warrant." Or the judge may say, "Oh, yes, this is probable evidence of probable cause that there, and it's relevant evidence of criminal conduct, criminal activity that's ongoing in that, at that location. So I'm going to give you a search warrant, and then you can go search those celebrities' homes." You can search the Diddy home, and so the search warrants are another way. And here's an interesting thing. Now, we talked about how the students said that that they would allow a search of their person. There are cases where police just walk up to a house, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, how you doing? You know what? I would like, can I have permission to come in and search your house?" And there, you know, there are people, if you say yes, like, again, we're back there again, you waived your rights, because then they don't need a warrant. They don't need any of the other reasons that I'm going to talk about later to come into your house. Once you say, "Yeah, you can come in and you can search my house," then you've given consent. So, but they can actually do that. They can knock on your door. Now, here's the other thing they can do, too, which is there's what's called a plain view doctrine.
Right.
And that is, they come and they knock on your door, and while they're on your porch, they look through the window. And if they look through the window and they see drug activity ongoing through the window, you know, they see you grabbing drugs and running to another room. They hear the toilet flushing, you know, then they can break into the home. It's called exigent circumstances. And they can say, "Well, we saw through the window from the outside of the house. We saw this criminal activity in plain view. And therefore, we are permitted to go in without a warrant. And seize that property." So the plain view doctrine can apply. There's what's called exigent circumstances.
Okay.
There's another reason why they can come in, and this is an interesting thing, is if they get a 911 call and the person says, "Oh," you know, and they have the location, they go there, and they go to that location, and they hear screams.
Oh, okay.
Even if they don't get a 911 call, if they go to that location, somebody inside is saying, then they can break into the house to provide aid to a person who is maybe in distress. And that applies to,
so if they come to one's house and I don't want them to come in, I can say no.
Yes, absolutely.
I can just say no, thank you, or whatever.
Absolutely. If they don't, you can say, "Where's your warrant?"
Okay, so I should say, "Do you have a warrant or whatever?" That's a right I have as a citizen.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. And but now, like I said, that can be superseded. That can be superseded.
Right, by other circumstances.
Activity going on.
Okay.
Or
okay.
If they have sometimes they can come to a house because they've received the call of a medical emergency. And a lot of times they'll show up at a house, they've received the call, the woman's calling saying, "Oh, I'm having a heart attack. I think I'm having a heart attack." And then when they arrive at the house, they knock on the door and nobody opens the door. Nobody comes to the door.
So police come on those calls? As compared to paramedic?
Yeah. Well, what happens is they can break into the house
to
render aid to a person if they believe that there's a medical emergency.
Got it.
Comes to the door, nobody opens the door, then they can say, "Okay, well, we got this radio call and we think there's a medical emergency." And if it's a valid, reasonable belief that there's a medical emergency, then they can break into the house to render medical aid.
Got it. Okay.
So those are just some of the reasons. As I mentioned earlier, any indication that there's ongoing criminal activity can serve as a valid basis. Here's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. They show up at the house, right? And the suspect isn't there. They may have seen the suspect leave, mm-hmm. but they want to search the house. So what do? They show up and the girlfriend's there. And okay. Ask the girlfriend, can we search the house? Now, if the girlfriend lives there, she can give authority to at least come in and search the general area of the house.
Okay.
Now, there are cases that go back and forth on whether she can give permission to search his room, his personal private areas. Maybe not, but at least the living room, the family room, the open areas, the inhabitant can give permission to search those areas.
Okay. Now,
as you've seen, as we saw in that Diddy case, they threw stuff, you know, in the media stuff. They just throw it all over the place. They empty all.
Now, why do they do that? I mean, couldn't they just search and neatly stack it up against the wall?
Probably could.
What's up with that?
Yeah, that would be nice. Put the stuff back, fold it up, and put it back. No, they just leave it thrown all over the floor and everywhere. It was just a mess.
So do they do that to sort of make a statement or intimidate, or is that just individual?
I guess they do it because they can get away with it. I don't think it's the individual thing. I think that when they conduct a search, they know they don't have any responsibility to put stuff back. So they just leave it the way it is. It's terrible, but it is. That is the way it is. They can also search a home pursuant to arrest. If they have an arrest warrant and they go to a location to arrest the person,
right,
and the person is there, they can just search within his immediate arm's reach of where he is arrested. And they can do what's called a safety security sweep before they arrest or after they arrest. They could just quickly go and look in other rooms to make sure that there's no danger to them.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
While they're looking in those other rooms, if they see,
something, they can then
they can seize it and legally.
Got it. Okay.
Oh, man. There's a lot of rules out there. There are exceptions to every rule, pretty much. So that's pretty much it with regard to home searches. Obviously, there are people who are on probation and parole, and they're subject to a search. They have search conditions. So it was written in their probation statements that police can come to your house and search your house. You know, might
really?
Be.
Okay.
If they're on probation or parole, they may have certain conditions that allow the police to come and make those searches, in which event they can do that, so long as it's not harassing. That's another story for another time. Car stops. Now we move on to the biggie, car stops. Excuse me. Can police stop your vehicle for traffic violations? And the obvious answer to that is yes. You know, they can stop you for all kinds of traffic violations. They can stop you for speeding. They can stop you for problems with your car, your rear view bulb light, brake light doesn't work, whatever. They can obviously stop you for a DUI. And when they stop you, obviously, as we discussed earlier, they can ask you for your license and registration, but they can also ask you for proof of insurance. And obviously, they generally, they'll just cite and release. They'll write you a cite for whatever the violation may be. But if you do not have a license, and then they might not allow you to drive the vehicle away. They may keep the vehicle there, and then they might later impound the vehicle. We'll get to that a little bit later. And if they impound it, then it's subject to an inventory search when they impound it. So all the little nuances to get around. We'll get to that. And once again, we get back to the same doctrine that we were talking about earlier, that plain view doctrine. If they come up to your car and they're stopping you for some type of traffic violation, an illegal lane change, you ran a stop sign. And when they walk up to your car, they stop you and they look through the window and they see a big vial of cocaine or whatever in your back seat. Now they can search the vehicle because in plain view, while they were outside of the vehicle, they saw contraband, illegal substances inside the vehicle. So that gives them probable cause and reasonable suspicion to search the vehicle.
If your car windows are excessively tinted, can they stop and search you?
Now that becomes an interesting issue. A lot of officers use tempting as a basis for detaining a suspect. And there are a lot of laws on that. And the laws basically in its most simplistic form say, if the officer cannot see inside of your vehicle because right. the tint of your vehicle is so dark that they can't see inside, then they could theoretically stop you and cite you for that. Okay. And in which event they would have to ask you to roll down your window, in which event they could see inside. And if they saw any contraband, obviously they could seize it. Otherwise they could write you a citation for that. And okay. at that time they can ask you for your license and registration. Now, the interesting thing, and here gets a juicy one. If you don't have a license and registration, they can go inside your glove compartment and search for your license or registration. Okay?
Really?
Yeah. They can open your glove compartment or they can look under the seat and try to find your license and registration. And the same thing applies with regard to your wallet. If you're in a public place, I forgot to mention that earlier,
right.
and you don't have identification, there are some cases that say they can retrieve your wallet out of your pocket to try to search for your identification. And if they find anything while they're doing that, then that can be admissible in a court of law as okay. admissible against you. So it's all of these different little rules. They can go in the glove compartment to search for your, as we said, for your license and registration, search your wallet.
Let me ask a quick question. I remember that there is actually Byron, who's a good friend of mine. He's a law enforcement officer in my Sunday school class. Uh-huh. And he once made a comment. He said, if you're driving your car, let's say you're coming from a party or a dinner and there are people in the backseat. He said that when if the police stop you, you should immediately roll down every single window and put your hands up or on the wheels or so the police can see them, that you should just do it automatically. Don't wait to be asked or whatever. Do you think that's reasonable or do you think that's sort of overreacting? Yeah,
but that's good common sense. There, that's back to the common sense.
So okay.
You
okay.
have to do that. But the police officer's approaching, you don't want them to be mistaken. Oh, I thought I saw a gun. Oh, I thought I saw him reach for something. Oh, man, it's better to get clearance before you reach for anything. Like, take, for instance, if you're going to reach for the glove compartment.
Right.
Before you do that, if the officer's outside your vehicle, you say, officer, my registration is in the glove compartment. May I reach into the glove compartment okay. to recover it? Okay. Don't just go reaching in there, because if you go reaching in there yourself, they might say, oh, I thought we was going for a gun.
Right. So that would fall within common sense that you just do.
Yeah. But theoretically, okay. you're not required to roll down all your windows.
Okay.
You know, and you know, a lot of times the police will come up to you and they keep in mind now, all the police officers, almost at least here in the L.A. County area and virtually many other jurisdictions, almost all of them now have what called body cams.
Right.
And they have it's either on their chest or it's on their head, helmet or whatever. And it's a little camera and it starts recording everything that's going on during the traffic encounter, during the encounter with the police. And sometimes they don't turn it on. There are many jurisdictions that are required to turn it on automatically whenever they stop somebody or detain somebody.
In California, are they required to turn it on?
In California, locally, I think they did recently. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think they did recently pass a section that says they are required to automatically activate it. A few years ago, when they were first rolling them out, they were set so that they would automatically come on when their siren came on,
or
stopped, and when they had an encounter with the police officer, with a civilian. But they had a button. They all had a button where they could turn it off.
Okay.
And they used to do that sometime. The other thing that used to happen sometime, is a little bit off the subject, was that they would write a police report, and then we would see the video of it, and it would be inconsistent. this used to happen. So it's like one thing in the police report, and you look at the video and you say, wait a minute, that's not what happened here. He's not swagging, or he's not staggering. He's not slurred speech. His eyes didn't look bloodshot or watery. So sometimes, so the video cameras are helpful, and they are helpful to the officers too.
Okay.
They can show the suspect being unruly, going for a weapon. Video cameras can be a great useful too. Now, the interesting thing is when the police come up to you, can they order you out of the vehicle?
Okay.
And the answer is yes.
If
it's for officer safety, if they tell you driver and passenger exit the vehicle, you have to exit. If they tell you remain in the vehicle, if they say do not exit the vehicle, you have to comply with that command. Now, obviously, as we said earlier, they may require you to produce your license. I've said that several times. Do they have to tell you why you are being stopped? The answer in many jurisdictions is yes. Certainly, most all jurisdictions have a requirement that if the police arrest you, they have to tell you why they are placing you under arrest. Okay? And so you can say, officer, why are you arresting me? And you can also say, why are you stopping me?
Right.
Now, in most jurisdictions, they are required to answer that question and to tell you why you are being detained. Certainly, while you are stopped in your vehicle, once again, they can start asking you questions. And then once again, they can start asking you, as we mentioned earlier, they can ask you trick questions to try to get you to admit the things.
Okay.
To admit that you have weapons or admit that you did something wrong. Do the police have to have a reason to stop you? Yes. They can't just stop you for nothing. The law requires that police can't just stop and detain you in your vehicle for no reason. They have to have some articulable reason to believe that, and it's under a reasonable officer standard, that you committed some form of a misdemeanor infraction or a felony offense before they can stop you. And as we indicated earlier, once they do stop you, they can conduct a pat-down search of your person and your body.
Okay.
Now, question, what are the possible reasons officers can stop me, that they can use to stop me in my vehicle? Well, just as examples, they stop people for erratic driving. You know, they say you were swerving. I was with on a ride-along with a CHP officer once. We're sitting in the back seat, and these guys are really good. I have to give it to him, because what he said was, oh man, he was weaving it within the road and he was kind of swaying outside of the lane. And I'm looking, it's nighttime. I'm like, I didn't see that. He said, so I'm going to pull him over. So he pulls the guy over, and sure enough, the guy, when he gets out the car, he's drunk as a skunk. I'm like, really, really good observation. They can pull you over if you're texting, if some kind of way, if they could smell marijuana, they can do that. They can pull you over, obviously, for any traffic violations. They can pull you over if they have a police report of criminal activity. They can pull you over if you have an outstanding warrant. As we indicated earlier, they can pull you over for what's called furtive conduct.
Okay.
And that gets into what you were talking, sweating, but it's got to be more than just sweating and being nervous.
Okay.
Got to be some physical action that alerts them to think that you committed a crime, something beyond just sweating. You mentioned tinted windows. If they're in a certain degree of tint, they can pull you over if it's too dark, if the windows are too dark. And obviously,
so there really is no standard, no industry standard on tinting at all?
There are actually, in the state of California, there are actually very detailed standards.
Really? Okay.
We'd be here for a while if we went through all of them. But the basic the basic premise is that it's not the factory tint that came with the vehicle.
Right.
And the tint is so dark that officers cannot see inside the vehicle.
So this is additional tent added to the factory tent.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that gives them a basis to stop and theoretically cite you. Now, okay. What happens is we used to see cases where they would stop a person for tinted windows, but the tint was not dark enough to justify the stop.
Got it.
So that results in the whole thing being thrown out. Because if the tent is not dark enough, then first, if they're going to cite you for having illegally tinted windows, that doesn't fly. And if they find anything for during the course of detaining you, like drugs or anything,
right,
then that gets thrown out because the stop itself was not valid.
Fruit of the poisonous tree, right?
Oh,
it surfaces every now and then.
Right. It's coming back. Oh, that's great.
Thank you, sir. And what we always like to say to ourselves and to our audience, be the change that you want to see in the world. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.